Chapter 9. Was she really pretty at 12? Did he want, would he ever want to caress her? To really caress her? Her black hair cascaded over one clavicle, and the gesture she made of shaking it back and the dimple on her pale cheek were revelations with an element of immediate recognition about them. Her pallor shone. Her blackness blazed. The pleated skirts she liked were becomingly short. Even her bare limbs were so free from suntan that one's gaze, stroking her white shins and forearms, could follow upon them the regular slants of fine dark hairs, the silks of her girlhood. The irridal dark brown of her serious eyes had the enigmatic opacity of an Oriental hypnotist's look in a magazine's back page advertisement, and seemed to be placed higher than usual, so that between its lower rim and the moist lower lid, a cradle crescent of white remained when she stared straight at you. Her long eyelashes seemed blackened, and in fact were. Her features were saved from elfin prettiness by the thickish shape of her parched lips. Her plain Irish nose was Van's in miniature. Her teeth were fairly white, but not very even. Her poor, pretty hands, one could not help cooing with pity over them, rosy in comparison to the translucent skin of the arm, rosier even than the elbow that seemed to be blushing for the state of her nails. She bit them so thoroughly that all vestige of free margin was replaced by a groove cutting into the flesh with the tightness of wire and lending an additional spatule of length to her naked fingertips. Later, when he was so fond of kissing her cold hands, she would clench them, allowing his lips nothing but knuckle. But he would fiercely pry her hand open to get at those flat, blind little cushions. But oh my, oh the long, languid, rose and silver, painted and pointed, delicately stinging onyxes of her adolescent and adult years. What Vaughn experienced in those first strange days when she showed him the house and those nooks in it where they were to make love so soon combined elements of ravishment and exasperation. Ravishment because of her pale, voluptuous, impermissible skin, her hair, her legs, her angular movements, her gazelle grass odor, the sudden black stare of her wide-set eyes, the rustic nudity under her dress. Exasperation, because between him, an awkward schoolboy of genius, and that precocious, affected, impenetrable child, there extended a void of light and a veil of shade that no force could overcome and pierce. He swore wretchedly in the hopelessness of his bed as he focused his swollen senses on the glimpse of her he had engulfed when, on their second excursion to the top of the house, she had mounted upon a captain's trunk to unhasp a sort of illuminator through which one acceded to the roof. Even the dog had once gone there. And a bracket or something wrenched up her skirt and he saw, as one sees some sickening miracle in a biblical fable, or a moth's shocking metamorphosis, that the child was darkly flossed. He noticed that she seemed to have noticed that he had or might have noticed, what he not only noticed but retained with tender terror until he freed himself of that vision much later, and in strange ways, and an odd, dull, arrogant look passed across her face. Her sunken cheeks and fat, pale lips moved as if she were chewing something, and she emitted a yelp of joyless laughter when he, Big Vaughn, slipped on a tile after wriggling in his turn through the skylight. And in the sudden sun, he realized that until then he, Small Vaughn, had been a blind virgin. Since haste, dust, and dusk had obscured the mousy charms of his first harlot so often possessed. His sentimental education now went on fast. Next morning he happened to catch sight of her washing her face and arms over an old-fashioned basin on a rococo stand. Her hair knotted on the top of her head, her nightgown twisted around her waist like a clumsy corolla out of which issued her slim back, ribbed shaded on the near side. A fat snake of porcelain curled around the basin, and as both the reptile and he stopped to watch Eve and the soft woggle of her bud breasts in profile, a big mulberry-colored cake of soap slithered out of her hand, and her black-socked foot hooked the door shut with a bang, which was more the echo of the soap's crashing against the marble board than a sign of pudic displeasure.